This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your presence over here, that's what we're looking for. Nothing else. To be along with you. You want to be along with us. You've brought your commitment. You've shown that you are serious with us. Jesus Christ died at the cross for each and every one of us. This coming Friday, we are reminded of it again, that Jesus was nailed on a cross for our sins. And you did it, Father, because you love us. You did it because you wanted to be with us. You did it so that we could come to you, that we could be restored again, that the relationship could be restored again, that we could call ourselves children of yours through Jesus Christ. And Father, we have got to react. We've got to say, yes, I'm accepting it. I'm accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm accepting it that God the Creator, He's my Father, and the Holy Spirit, my Helper. And as all eyes are closed over here, and if you're here today, and you've never made that commitment to say, Father to God, you've never made that commitment to say to Jesus, you're my Savior and my Helper. You've never said to the Holy Spirit, I want to invite you into my life as a helper. And if you're here today, you've never done it in public, I'm asking you to raise your hand. Father, we thank you. Thank you that we can come. We can go on our knees and bow before you. Because we bow before the King of Kings. There is no other King. That's you, Father. And that we've got a privilege that we can call ourselves a child of the King of Kings through the blood of Jesus Christ. What a privilege, Father. What a privilege. But Father, you're not finished with us. When Jesus went back, you've sent the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray, Lord, that today the Holy Spirit is going to speak. Those who haven't heard the Holy Spirit's voice before are going to hear it for the first time. That people are going to get pictures, words, verses, that we can share it with each other. To edify the church. Father, I pray that our hearts will be open to receive from you, that you will speak to us through the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't matter if you are behind the computer or if you may be playing a music instrument, you want to speak to all of us. And Father, we're waiting for that. And I pray as I go through the sermon, Father, that you're going to speak to the people, that at the end that we can share God the Father spoke to us through the Holy Spirit. We come, Father, as a child sitting on your lap, excited to hear what you want to share with us this afternoon about your love for us and where you're inviting us and where you say, love me. We love you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, I'm going to quote out of John 13 and 14. And specifically the part where Jesus started speaking to the disciples after Judas has left the room. It's nearly like the enemy left the room, and now Jesus is starting to speak, and now he starts opening up. And if there are beautiful scripture, or beautiful chapters in the scripture, then it's John 14 to 17. If you've got time, read it again. Beautiful chapters. In 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus is saying, a new commandment I give to you. This is what he said to the disciples and what he's saying to us as well. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. And by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So that commandment is also applicable to us, that we've got to show to other people that we love other people. And then after that part, what I've read just now, Jesus speaks to Peter. And Peter is asking Jesus, but where are you going? And Jesus is saying, but I'm going to heaven. He said, no, I will go and I will fight and I will lay down my life. And then Jesus says, you're going to deny me three times. And it's happened in our lives as well. And if it's really coming onto the push, then we deny. Then we deny Jesus. Then we deny that we've got a relationship with him. But then we're confronted again. Are we really loving Jesus? Are we really having a relationship with God? And then John 14 starts with Jesus telling his disciples that he's going to prepare a place. And that Jesus is also the only way to the Father. Where he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Philip, one of the disciples, also asked, show us the Father. And then Jesus replied to it as well. Verse 10 John 14 is also beautiful. And the words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who lives in me does the work. What Jesus is saying there, that he is not speaking out of his own. The Father is communicating through Jesus with the disciples, exactly the same as God communicates with us through the Holy Spirit. John 14, 12 to 14, also beautiful. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. When we read these scriptures, and we just sometimes just smile and think, yeah, maybe. It's part of God's work. We can do it. We are the problem. It's not God who cannot do it. We are the problem. We are not there to allow the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, to work through us. And we can do greater works. I once asked the pastor, I said, how many people have you baptized? He said, he doesn't know, 50, 60. I said, then you already have done more than Jesus. Because in the Bible we cannot find one occasion that Jesus has baptized anyone. I said, you already have given truth to this scripture. But we've got to believe it, that we can do it, that we can do greater works. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. We shouldn't forget that. We can ask anything and he will do it. And then between those verses, there's one scripture, John 14, verses 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me. It's an invitation what Jesus is giving over there to the disciples. If you love me, keep my commandments. Over here, it's plural. What I've just now read, where Jesus was talking about, where he was giving the commandment, it is in singular. But if you go into the Greek and you go and have a look at the word, then both words are exactly the same. So I'm not quite sure who did the translation of this New King James. One is in plural and the other is in singular. But it means exactly the same. The commandment which Jesus gave. Love your neighbor as yourself. And this is a commandment that Jesus is giving. Jesus is not saying to the disciples, you do this and you do that or you do that. One commandment: if you love me, keep my commandment. In today's term, we would have said copy-paste. Do as what I've been as an example to you. Jesus was the example for them for 3 years. And he said to them, copy me, do exactly the same. If we want to do Jesus' commandments, obedience is necessary. And obedience means that we've got to go on our knees. Obedience means that, yes, we've got to take our shoes and socks off and say, I'm standing on holy ground. The presence of the Lord is over here. I want to be obedient. Then after John 14:15, he makes that promise about the helper. John 14:16-17. And I will pray the Father, and he will give another helper. Jesus was the first helper. The Holy Spirit is another helper to carry on. Jesus did it by example with his disciples. They could see it, and then they had to do it. But then God gave the Holy Spirit that they could do it, that they could do exactly the same as what Jesus has been doing, and even doing more. And I will pray to the Father. Pray. I will ask. I will request the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. It's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This is an awesome promise what Jesus is giving over there for the Holy Spirit. And this is where I feel that God wants to speak today about to us, that we are experiencing it today over here, but that we're also going to seek it in our houses, that we're going to seek it where we are, that we ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us, that things can happen through us. God wants to work through us. And we can hear 1,000 sermons about the Holy Spirit, and we can walk out and we can say, that was a good sermon. But if we do not put it into practice the next day, it doesn't mean anything. And that's crucial. What we're hearing, that we're going to put it into practice, that we're going to ignite it, that it's going to start. And that's what I prayed beforehand as well over here, that it is going to happen, that we're all in a community over here. Maybe some of you have never heard God's voice. You've never got a picture. But I prayed beforehand that it is going to happen, that you're all going to get a picture. Because that you say to God, I want to receive. I want to receive from the Holy Spirit. I want to hear how you communicate with me through the Holy Spirit. When we were interceding before the sermon over here, there was a picture of a boat. But a boat without a sail, and there's a wind. And the person on the boat has got to pull up the sail, that the sail can catch the wind, and that the boat can go. We are that person on the boat. We have got to raise the sail. We cannot say to God or to Jesus, can you please raise the sail, and then I can catch the wind. No, we've got to do it. We've got to prepare. We've got to stand up. We've got to pull up the sail that it can catch the wind, the Holy Spirit, and that we can go to the place where God wants to use us. Listening to the Holy Spirit is not always easy. I'm talking out of my own experience. And I'm experiencing it again, that yes, I'm preaching for myself. I can put a mirror over there. I'm preaching for myself as well. And you know what's the most difficult thing? It's time. It means that you've got to take time, that you've got to sit down, that you've got to listen to God, that you've got to spend time with him, because he's your first priority. And if you haven't got time, if you say you're too busy, then he's not your first priority. Then something else is more important. I'm repenting of it. Father, I repent of it. And if you're here and today you're in the same situation, then you can, in your heart, follow me with this prayer. Father, I repent. I repent that I do not put enough time in your presence, that I've got enough other reasons to be out of your presence, to do things which I think are more important. Father, I repent of it, that I do not put you as my first priority in life. I repent of it, and I'm going to put you as first priority in my life. I want to wake up with you, and I want to go at the night to bed with the last thoughts what I've got about you. And during the day, I want to continuously glorify your name and worship you and stand in awe of who you are, the creator of heaven and earth. As what we heard just now in the song as well, you are above everything, but we don't even know how big it is. And you want to be involved in my life, in each and every one's life over here. Thank you, Father, that I can spend time with you. I want to spend time with you. I want to put up the sail. I want to catch the wind. I want to catch the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I don't want to miss out, Father. I don't want to miss out. I want to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen. We saw it with the announcements as well. Listening to the Holy Spirit. We're going to have a Holy Spirit night on the 22nd of April. We're going to worship over there, and we're going to listen to what the Holy Spirit is sharing with us. That the Holy Spirit can work through us, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit can work through us, and that we can bear fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to talk about two pictures which I got. I got it already last week, so it was, I already had it in my head, so it wasn't that difficult yesterday evening to finish the sermon. The first picture which I got is of purple flowers. Now, purple is a royal color. It means that we've been heavenly appointed to an earthly position. Each and every one of us, we are a child of the King of Kings and of the Lord of Lords. We've got a royal status. We see so many photographs of people who want to take a selfie with an important person. You don't have to take that pictures. You can just say, I've got the most important person in my heart, Jesus Christ. I don't need a picture of that. I can only testify of that. Purple is a royal color. It gives us the identity what we've got. 1 Peter 2 verses 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Each and every one of us, we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. And what? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. That we can share it with other people, what Jesus has been doing in our life. That we are not in darkness anymore, but that we are in the light along with Jesus. The flower means spiritual growth. That's what we want to see. I spoke about it a few weeks back, about sanctification. The meaning of it, that someone will grow spiritually, and just like a flower which opens, will be a living example of a Christ-like life. On a Sunday, I'm always anointing the four corners of the site where the church is standing and taking authority of it, because we are legal tenants, so we can do that. Renee is always doing the inside. And when I started this morning at the corner over there, just on the other side of the gate, the flowers which you've seen just now, the picture, there was some of those flowers just on the other side of that pillar. And I said, thank you, Lord. And this is how beautiful God is, how great he is, in the smallest things that we can see it, that we can recognize it. I can just say, oh, it's another flower. No, it's exactly the same flower which God gave me that picture. We've got to grow spiritually. We cannot say, Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. Holy Spirit, it's fine. And I'm waiting for the second coming and waiting for that marriage. No. God wants us that we should do something, that the Holy Spirit should work through us, that we should start something. Because Jesus is saying, John 14 verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. The second picture which I got is a window in a farmhouse. And you will find them here in the Netherlands quite often, those type of windows. The window means prophetic revelation. The Holy Spirit of God reveals and gives insight into things in another place or time. Prophetic revelation of spiritual things of God. God wants to show us things, but we're going to miss if we're not going to spend time with Him. We're going to miss if we are not going to spend time and listen to what the Holy Spirit is going to say to us. We're going to miss those prophetic revelations. John 14, verse 26 is telling us, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you." The Holy Spirit is there to teach us and to bring us remembrance of the things what Jesus has been saying. The Holy Spirit has got a task, but we have got to open up the doors. We've got to open up the gates. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. We've got to spend time with God to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to share with us. In a farmhouse is a harvest place. It's places where the harvest is being produced and therefore can symbolize the place you were called to work, establish a ministry, build a church, or expand the kingdom of God. We are here to harvest. God has put you in Utrecht, or at least in the area then, for a specific reason. And that's to harvest. It's not for a few selected people. It's for each and every one of us. We've got to show the light in the darkness. We've got to be the light in the darkness. We've got to tell the people, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We've got to testify it. John 4, verses 35. "And do not say there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest, delaying it. No. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already whiter for harvest." Now, if we take these two pictures, and we can understand it, we are a royal priesthood. God wants us to grow. This is the purple flower. God wants to reveal to us what He wants us to do so that His church can grow, that the harvest can be collected. And if God is giving you those type of pictures and He's giving you those type of explanations, then I cannot ignore God anymore. Then I cannot become quiet. This is what we've got to do. This is what I've got to do. This is what all of us have got to do if we are serious. If we are reacting on that invitation of Jesus, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now I'm going to do something strange, but that's fine. I'm already bare feet. I'm going to sing a chorus of a certain song, and I'm not a singer. I need your help. And I don't want the band to come at the moment. I want you people also to sit over there. That we're going to sing this chorus twice, and then we're going to say goodbye to the people on Facebook Live. You got it? Thanks. And then we're going to sing it again, and I'm going to put the microphone up over here. And I'm praying for it, that God is going to speak to you this afternoon over here. And if it's the first time, then it's the first time. Then you're just going to hear the first time. And even if you get a color blue, then you come and you say color blue. If it's the first time that God is speaking to you and it's just a color, then you start like that. It doesn't matter. And if there's a certain word which comes continuously in your mind, then you bring it and you say, this is the word what I'm getting. If there's a certain scripture what God is reminding you of, come and read it. If there's a vision what you've got, come and share it. And I want all of us to be involved, the guys behind the media table as well. If there's anything what you've got, just hand over the microphone or to the one next to you and come and share over here. But that we come with an expectation that God wants to speak to us. And you maybe say, but didn't I expect this to happen in a sermon? I also didn't expect it. That's why we're doing it. We do not want to run into cultures and traditions because that's killing the Holy Spirit. We've got to be open when the Holy Spirit speaks, that we react on it and that we allow the Holy Spirit to speak. I'm first going to pray and then we're going to sing that chorus twice. Father, your presence. We pray for your presence. We pray for the Holy Spirit to flow. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit is going to speak to the people in this congregation this afternoon. If they've never heard a message from you through the Holy Spirit, that you're going to speak to them this afternoon for the first time, I pray that, Father. I pray that the hearts are going to be open and that the hearts are going to be open with an expectation to receive from you. That as what we are preparing ourselves and as what we are allowing the Holy Spirit to come into our presence, what we're going to sing it, that you're going to speak to us, Father. I pray that in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this space and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.